W263 AI Murfreesboro. W270 AF Murfreesboro.
WGNS Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. We're going to be talking about the Linebaugh Public Library this morning. And so much happening. That's not just Linebaugh. We're talking about all the branches of the Rutherford County Library System. And the director of the Rutherford County System, Rita Shacklett, is with us this morning. Rita, it's reading time in Tennessee.
Boy, is it ever, Bart. I tell you what, we have got so much stuff going on. It's amazing.
This is the time to enjoy a good book. People go out on trips, take a book with you, enjoy that, relax a bit. Enjoy a book wherever you can,
that's
and you
right.
have them all over there.
Or you can take your tablet or your phone or your computer
right.
and read online.
And then you make that easier, too, because you check out the electronic books as well as the paper.
You can. We have lots of options.
And that's all at the Rutherford County Library System.
It is.
So what's happening at the Tech Center? I mean, that is happening place.
We had business, the Chamber had their business after hours there last week, and we had about 120, 125 people there. And almost every one of them said, you know, I haven't been here before. I didn't know this existed, or I thought it was part of the school, or I've been meaning to come by and just haven't made it. And so It was amazing to see their reactions to what was there, and the meeting rooms has been a big thing for people.
Oh, yeah.
But they've also had, what did she tell me yesterday, they had 20 kids every day during the week for the last 3 weeks doing STEM camps.
What is that about?
It's science, technology, engineering, and math.
Ah, okay.
So or STEAM. Well, there's also STEAM, which includes arts, but using Legos to build things. Some of them have pieces that actually make it work. They've been doing coding and just all kinds of things. And these are kids from early elementary up to probably middle school.
I would imagine also that with this summer season and the kids being out of school, that the bookmobile is being used quite a bit.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's pretty full. And I want to welcome a newer bookmobile driver, John Baccarin, who started with us about a month ago. And so you may see him out on there, too.
Ah, very good. So we're one of the few libraries in the whole state that has a
one of three. One of three.
And that enables you to do a whole lot in the community.
We do, and we still get requests almost weekly, almost sometimes, but at least once a month, pretty much, we get a request. We go to Smyrna and Laverne on Tuesday, so all the stops that are in that area have to be in that neighborhood when we go. Wednesdays and Fridays, we do like preschools and daycares and that kind of thing. And then on Thursdays are our senior adults, and they do a lot of assisted living, memory care, that type of thing.
And so when you have people request that you come to their location, do those get worked in, or how does that go?
Sometimes if we have a spot, but they're pretty much gone from 8:30 in the morning and don't get back till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and sometimes later than that. So
it's just a popular place.
Yeah, so a lot of times we have to say, sorry, not yet, but we'll keep you on file, and if somebody drops out or whatever, then we can fit you in.
Have you ever thought about adding another bookmobile where you have two of them?
We have, just to see where areas are that we might need a potential branch in the future. But they're not cheap. That one was almost $100,000.
Whoa.
And that was in 2005. So I would hate to think what it is now. But we have thought about it.
And I'd not thought about seeing, letting it use to see where your branches should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something that somebody came up with when we were working on our new strategic plan. And it's a cheaper way of looking at, areas that have potential.
The mayor was talking the other day about a new library being built over around Fortress Boulevard, that general area.
In the Blackman area, yeah.
Which is obviously
we've been talking to him and the city both. Obviously, it's not going to happen right away, but that is an area we've had for years, people asking for a branch out there, because Mayor Ketron told me the other day that there are about 41,000 people that live in that area alone.
Wow.
And you know how many schools are out there, so that's just a demand for probably a branch the size of at least Smyrna.
Which
so
is
we're
a
talking
big branch.
Probably a 20,000 square foot building or bigger. Because with that many kids and homework and, resources for that and story times, because you got lots of families that live where there's schools, there's lots of things. And as we found with the tech and even at Limehall and Smyrna, needing that meeting space. So building in meeting rooms from the get-go.
So where would that's on the planning stage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably going to happen. Are there some other locations that are really high priorities where the population is just really needing a public
probably
library?
The north end of the county. And we're also talking with the county about, because we work really close with the city schools, and we do issue library cards and things like that through the city schools. And transit items back and forth. Their courier comes by the library every day and drops off and picks up. But the county can't do that because they have, 48 schools or something like that, and there's two more on the books. And what we've been talking about for a couple of years now, that Mayor Ketron and Deputy Mayor Sandlin are excited about, is the possibility of using the school library as a branch in the evenings and on the week and during the summer, because those buildings sit empty. And so we're looking at, because they have two new schools on the books to build, they were talking about building one so that it, cause you have to watch for accessibility into the school and that kind of thing. But they're talking about wanting to build these new ones so that you don't have, you've got outside access, but it's locked going into the school or whatever so that people can't get there. Well, then we got to talking about how some of the especially high school libraries are already set up that way. So we're looking at picking a target school where there's not a branch close by that we could try this out and get all the bugs worked out. It has been done in other states. Florida has an area where they've done this, and it's been successful. You just have to work out how your automation systems talk to each other and your staffing and how you do collections and all of that. But I think it certainly could be done, and they're very open to that. So I'm excited about that possibility as well.
Would the library building in the schools then have to be larger? Because when you talk about something needed the size of the Smyrna Library,
right,
that seems to be a lot larger than what you find in the schools.
It is, but I think we could do it with the size that they're building now, because you could have more of them. And you wouldn't necessarily have them in every single school, and I think we'd probably start with probably high schools. And so you wouldn't necessarily need one in every, like Blackman High School. If we put a branch out there, obviously we don't need to use Blackman High School.
Mm-hmm.
But, maybe Siegel. And some of the schools are not built where you can use them because it has to do with the entrances and that kind of thing. So we'll see what happens. We're working on that.
You're mentioning possibility of using like Blackman High School, Siegel High School, those places. And how long would it take? Would you have to add more space to it?
I think you use as is. And, of course, they've already got some computers there because it's not like you would have more popular materials and things like that, bestsellers, that type of stuff. And, of course, we could transit items from our other locations there if people put holes on them. But I think you could use the space as it is now. You just have more smaller, it's almost like a little satellite building.
So this could, you could instantly add
right,
quite
and it's,
a few.
It's already there, so we're not, other than staffing, and this helps the schools out because that just gives them more in their collections.
Now, would this enable them to have more electronic, because that seems to be a popular trend, especially among younger people?
Yes. Of course, they have access now to our databases and things like that. I don't know that we would be adding more computers because that gets a little trickier with firewalls and things like that and accessibility to certain sites. And, you know, there's lots of things to look at.
So these are things that are possibilities. And if what happens, how do you get those approved? I mean,
well, it's working together with the county, working together with the county school system, with the school itself. The idea is to get one pilot project off the ground, let it run for a year or two, work all the bugs out. But then at the same time, we can see what needs to be changed so that when they build new buildings, and maybe they do build those buildings a little bit bigger and we have more computers and I don't know, but we'll see how it pans out.
All righty. So we could see some test of this.
Right. And, you know, talking about electronic resources, Bart, I was listening to a webinar the other day, and it's something we're looking into. We might have some grant money that we could use for it. One of the places where we buy, they're called book jobbers, but it's where we purchase our library materials, Baker and Taylor. They have this new thing called a pop-up library, and it's a small device. From the picture, it looks like it might be, I don't know, 6x12, 8x12. It's just a little device that you plug in, and we purchase ebook content that goes on it. And places where people have to wait for extended periods of time, like the DMV, or a hospital waiting room, or a jury room, or a laundromat, things like that. People can actually download books from their phone or their tablet, whatever they have with them, so they're not just sitting there waiting. They have access to these e-books. And depending on how much we pay for content, depends on how much we put in there, and we can either select or they help us select content. But it's really a great way to extend the library out into the community, especially in places where people are just sitting there waiting. So we're really excited about looking into that a little bit more as well, and hopefully we'll get some grant money to do that. But they're called pop-up libraries, and it's really cool, and they provide the posters and the little instruction cards mm-hmm. and stuff to put up. And so be watching. We may have a press release coming out.
We may have a pop-up library.
I know.
Another exciting thing is the different uses of the library
mm-hmm.
For not just reading and not just looking at new magazines, but checking your family history. You've
right,
got a great
right.
facility
We've got
for that.
Several genealogy groups, one in Smyrna, one at Lineball that meet monthly. Lineball obviously has our biggest collection, which goes way back to the 90s when Ann Anderson, who was a noted genealogist in Mississippi, gave us the majority of her huge collection. And so we always try to make sure we have the local things in the county, and then we branch into the state, and then we try to get into those states where they migrated from to Tennessee. And then we've got some in just that are everywhere.
One thing I noticed, too, and I used it myself last month, was the way to update your driver's license. It was time to have a new picture and everything.
Yeah.
And you have the kiosk there at mm-hmm. the Lineball Library. There was nobody using it.
Well, not yesterday.
Okay.
There was a line yesterday morning.
But now, are they renewing with the little mm-hmm. star? Is that?
I don't know. Because when I did mine last year, I didn't. That wasn't the issue. But administrative and technical services have temporarily moved back to Lineball till we can find a more permanent home. But and so our offices are. My office is like right on the other side of the wall from that little kiosk. And they were chattering away, and there were probably five or six people waiting in line. And then other times you go in, and there's just one person. But I think I must have seen probably at four different times yesterday, whenever I'd go out of the office, there'd be somebody using it.
And if they enable you to use that to get the star,
right,
which everybody will have to
And I'm
renew.
Sure it will, because what it does, and you can't, if your driver's license is already expired, you can't use it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, and right. you can't use it if you're changing from another state. But if you're just renewing your driver's license, then it takes maybe 5 minutes.
It's easy,
and
took,
you can
took
retake
me longer.
Your
I had to
right.
figure it out.
And you can retake your picture as many times as you want to, which I think is really cool. Because if you don't like it, you can retake it. But they give you a paper receipt, and then you receive the official one in the mail a week or two later. So I'm sure that they're sending you the newest one,
mm-hmm.
I would think, when you get your real one.
Actually, I did not get the new one.
You didn't.
I mean, so I'm going to have to go back again at some point and have the new one again.
I'm sure I will, because mine renewed last year, so it's still good for however many years. But...
So,
but I'm sure
it'll
they
be
send,
easier.
Yeah, I'm sure after that law is passed and all of that, that, you know, the new ones will probably have it.
Very good. Our phone number, by the way, 615-893-1450. We're talking about the Rutherford County Library System. So much happening, and this is the busy time of the year for the library system. Everybody's going places and reading books while they're sitting on the beach or wherever they might be. A whole lot happening at the library. We're going to find out more about that when we return. In the meantime, we're going to check on traffic and weather. Stay with us.
We're all about saving you money.
I'm Dave Ramsey on WGNS, Rutherford County's place to talk.
Weekdays from 1 to 4 on WGNS.
And the Blue Raiders win again.
Man, I really need to get some new MT gear.
Where are you going?
I thought I'd go to the bookstore.
Bookstore? I thought you wanted gear. Businesses always put what they're most proud of in their name.
So where do you go?
Raider Tees. They have tees, polos, hats, chairs, tents, artwork, everything blue for the true Blue Raider fan. They're just off Broad Street behind Chewy's Restaurant on Ridgely Road.
Raider Tees.
Like us on Facebook for early notice of specials and sales.
Raider Tees. Bigger, better, and go blue.
Hi, this is Norman and Beth Brown.
I was at a restaurant one morning and the waitress says, there's three little kittens trapped under an air conditioning unit. I was like, oh my goodness, we're in the business. Let me call my husband.
And I received the call. I immediately dispatched the tech and we rescued the kittens.
Three little kittens, so sweet. Meow.
Yep, everyone goes beyond the call of duty at Roscoe Brown with heating and air, water purification, insulation, and more.
Roscoe Brown.
RoscoeBrown.com.
We have now gotten a food truck. Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. Our food truck has various items from the Demas's menu, from our Peter D's catering menu, from our new concept PDK, and we can combine it in any form or fashion. The food truck is available for rent, and it also can show up at any different events or outings. But it's set up here to be able to serve the people here anytime you want without having to go inside the restaurant. Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Good morning. Traffic still moving out here on 24 as we check it out live. Once again, westbound 24 here at Walden Road. You're on time also headed towards Franklin Williamson County on 840. Just watch your speed. And traffic's not too bad as we check Rutherford Boulevard getting onto Broad. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Thank you, Chuck. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here for this afternoon with cloudy sky conditions, a high in the mid-80s, and winds out of the south of 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 70.
Bazing at First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives a new meaning to pushing the bar on customer service.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Bazing offers discounts on medicine and doctors.
I saved on my eye doctor's exam and the glasses, too.
Look how much I saved at the drugstore.
Hearing services as well.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. This is Frieda Morgan from First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
There is no safer place in the storm. Talk radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
I am Matthew Ellis, and I will be interviewing Carrie Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Carrie, just to start off, I'd like to ask, how long have you been writing?
I've been writing since I was 9 years old, and I officially published my first book in 2015.
What led you to become an author?
Oh, goodness. I've wanted to be an author since I was 9 years old. I've been writing since then. But I wasn't sure how I was going to go about it as I got older. I knew there were different ways to go about getting published. You can go traditional, you can self-pub. And it wasn't until I saw a segment on CBS This Morning, January 1st of 2014, about an author named Jacinda Wilder. And she self-published her first book after she lost her job and sold 500 copies the first day. And that really inspired me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this in a year. I'm going to publish my first book in a year. So a year and 4 months later, I released my first book of poetry, Lithium Dreams and Melancholy Sunrise.
How long does it usually take you to write a book?
My books of poetry came really fast because I had already had everything written out. And my first children's book, Don't Eat Your Boogers, You'll Turn Green, I wrote in about 3 months. And right now I'm working on my next book, which will be my first full-length book. I've been working on it for about 6 months, and I'm hoping to release it either later this year or early next year.
And do you have a title for that book yet?
Tentative, but not official yet.
Okay. So where do you get your motivations for your characters or for your poetry? Where do you get your motivations from?
I get a lot of my motivation from people I know for both my fiction and my poetry. When I was in daycare, that's how I got a lot of my inspiration for my children's books.
What are some of the difficulties that you run into as an author?
I think when you're first starting out, it's trying to figure everything out. I self-published, so I had to figure everything out on my own when I did my first book, and it was kind of hard. There's a lot of information out there. It can get really overwhelming. But I figured it out and went from there. I think learning to treat your books as a business and not a hobby is very important and very crucial if you want to find some success in writing. It's very important to learn all the aspects of writing and publishing and marketing and all those important things that go together to build a successful career.
Kind of going off what you said about learning to see your books as a business, how would you say the relationship between author and reader works in the sense that are you writing for yourself or your audience members more?
I always write with my readers in mind. I usually do research on my ideas and stuff before I even start writing. I use a software tool called Publisher Rocket, and it allows you to research keywords for your books, categories. You can see how much money your competition is making each day, each month. It's just a really neat tool to get data on what's going on in your genre and what your competition is doing.
To any aspiring authors out there listening, what advice can you give them how to get published or writing their first book?
Where do I start? I think it's important to find someone who's a little farther ahead than you are and follow them and take their advice, learn what they teach and implement it in your own career. I think that's very important because it's very, very overwhelming because there are so many people that teach authorship and authorpreneurship out there. And it's just important to find one or two that you resonate with and that you relate to. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, buy a book, buy a course. Learn from them, and I think it'll make your journey much, much easier.
And you said that the thing that made you take that initial first leap was seeing that author on TV mm-hmm. and seeing their success, and that's what encouraged you to, I can do this too.
Yes, I have been putting it off for a long time, and I'm like, if she can do this, I can do this. I can figure it out, and I can do this. So that was like the big push for me. Another thing I think is important is to join writers groups online. That's very important. Research on Facebook, research on LinkedIn, different groups and stuff that you can get into with other writers. Because we're a very rare breed, and there are a lot of things that we face in our careers that a lot of people don't understand. So having that community is very, very important when you have days where you're like, I just want to give up, or I don't want to do this anymore, or what do I do about this, or have you ever had to handle this? You know, different things that come up. It's nice to have that community of support.
Your children's books tend to have very clear messages. For instance, even the title, Don't Eat Your Boogers, mm-hmm. is very clearly trying to get children to stop eating their boogers. Do you see any direct results of your children's books taking effect on the habits of children?
I have not met any kids yet that have learned from that, but hopefully in the future I will meet a few that have decided to quit.
So you often include these bizarre examples like skin turning green or time travel as consequences for misbehavior. Where do you get these crazy scenarios? Like, where do you come up with these ideas?
Well, the story behind Don't Eat Your Boogers, I was working in daycare, and I was in the two-year-old room at the height of flu and cold season, and everybody's nose are running like crazy. And all of a sudden, I heard my co-teacher say, ew, don't eat your boogers. And I thought to myself, you'll turn green. And I kind of thought, So I went home that night, and I kind of played around with it in my head and wrote down my first rough draft. And by the end of the week, I had like a full draft written. And then I just kind of sat on it for a while. And it wasn't until a year or two later when I was taking a freelance writing course and we had to submit a children's story for feedback. And my instructor really liked it. She said to try and get it published. So I sent it out to a few places, but didn't get any really great feedback, or nobody wanted to pick it up. So I thought, I'm going to do this myself. But the thing that was important to me was I wanted to get a kid's perspective. Would they like it? Would they not? How could I improve it? So I took it down to our school age room at the time, and which is about preschool age, and I read it to them. I had no pictures, just my manuscript in black and white, and they sat absolutely still, and I asked afterwards, what did they like, what didn't they like, and a few of them said, I want that book. So I thought to myself, I may be onto something here. So I thought, I'm going to do it myself. So I did.
You said Lithium Dreams and Melancholy Sunrise was your first published mm-hmm. work. And you said it was largely already written before you compiled it together. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, you just mentioned Don't Eat Your Boogers. It took a little bit for somebody to tell you that you should try to get it published mm-hmm. after it was already written. So I guess I'm just kind of wondering, like, what do you think makes the difference between a work that you're just writing for as a hobby and something that you're going to try to get published?
I think you kind of know when you're writing it whether it's going to be something you want to keep for yourself or if it's something that you want to have published. There's a difference. I think a lot of it depends on how you feel when you're writing it. You just know when you're going to publish it. You just know when you think this might be something, might be publishable.
Lithium Dreams mm-hmm. deals with a lot of very heavy and personal topics. Mm-hmm. I guess, are you worried that writing about personal topics like that might sort of change people's view of you, especially, I mean, even as a children's author?
That has crossed my mind before, because my poetry is so dark, and my children's mm-hmm. books are way on the other fun spectrum. I think what people have to realize is I wrote a lot of this poetry when I was in my late teens to mid-adult life. You know, you're going through your typical angst and heartbreak and, you know, situations and things like that. So I'm definitely not the person I was when I was writing that, for sure. I'm happily married and I'm doing what I love. So I've grown a lot since then. But at the same time, I think that everybody goes through dark periods in their life, and I just decided to publish about mine. So I think all authors grow and they do different things, and not everything I do everybody will like. Just like, you know, other authors do different things sometimes, and people either like it or they don't.
Well, Carrie, that is all the questions I have for you for right now. I want to thank you so much for coming in and doing this interview, and it was really great talking with you. Really great to meet you, Carrie. Thank you. Thank you so much.
There's so much happening in Lineball Public Library's Youth Services Department. Check out our calendar at rclstn.org for more information on the following free events. Join us for Mission Control Mondays during summer reading. These mystery Mondays include a lab activity, watching a story time from space, conducting a hands-on experiment, and much more. Come discover the mystery activity of the day. Also on Mondays during summer reading are Dewey Wind Days. Spin the wheel from 9 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. Check out a book from the section you land on and show us your receipt to win a prize. Thanks to our generous summer reading sponsors, everyone who spins will receive a free kids' meal from a sponsored restaurant. Lineball is hosting free lunch courtesy of Rutherford County Schools. Lunch is free to everyone 18 and under. Adults can eat two for $3.50. Join us every weekday until July 19th from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Come make, craft, and create with us during summer reading. Workshop Wednesdays are from 10 to 10:45 a.m. We will be creating aliens, rockets, and much more. Excitement abounds on June 20th and 25th during our super summer story times. Listen to stories, sing, dance, and watch a puppet show with us during this fun-filled event. All ages are welcome. Summer Movie Fridays at Lineball happen at 10 a.m. Join us for a family-friendly movie every Friday. Join Lineball Library and the National History Educational Company of the Mid-South with Bob and Beth Tarter for an interactive educational wildlife program on Tuesday, June 18th at 10 a.m. Balloon artist Scott Tripp will be at Lineball Library Thursday, June 27th at 10 a.m. Everyone will have a blast and enjoy this variety show. Balloons and magic are sure to delight. Magician Bruce Amato is coming to Lineball Library July 2nd at 10 a.m. Come to Lineball and witness mind-blowing magic. Tweens ages 8 to 12 and teens ages 12 to 18, be sure to check out our event just for you on June 20th, 22nd, 27th, 29th, and July 6th. From wayfinding to button moon art and movie matinees, bring a friend and join us. There's something for everybody this summer. Come celebrate your summer reading success at Lineball Library. Our grand finale party is on Tuesday, July 9th from 10 a.m. to noon. We will have a dance party featuring Dandy DJ, prizes, lunch, and more. Lineball Library is located at 105 West Vine Street, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, zip code 37129. We're open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sundays from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Stop by and see us soon.
I'm Matthew Ellis, and I am interning at Lineball Library over the summer. It's not that often that you get to see the library from the inside out, so I want to share what I see from my perspective as an intern about the library staff's day-to-day work. There is so much that goes on behind the scenes at Lineball Library that it might be easy for the staff to overlook the small needs and concerns of patrons, but this is exactly the opposite of what goes on at the library. I have only been an intern for a few weeks, but from what I have observed from my time here has been that the staff at Lineball are primarily concerned with the satisfaction of their patrons. They are obsessed with making sure that every patron has every need met and every question answered as quickly and as friendly as possible. Patrons of all ages and interests are catered to with the utmost care and attention in mind. I have witnessed staff members ensuring that every book on the shelves is in pristine and readable condition, and making sure that every patron knows the vast variety of resources available to them. The most evident factor that shows how much the staff at Linebaugh care about their patrons is that no matter how young or old a patron, simple or complicated a request, it is always fulfilled with a smile on their face. Yes, this is just the basic job of a librarian, but at Linebaugh it goes beyond that. Here, a desire to serve is in each staff member's heart, and they are focused on meeting each of their patrons' every need, not just because they want to be good at their job, but because they truly care about the satisfaction of the people around them. The heart of the people at Linebaugh is extraordinarily humble because it is centered on those who are around them rather than themselves.
Hello there. This is Kathleen Tyree, Branch Manager of the Technology Engagement Center, and here are our list of upcoming events at the Tech. Remaining computer classes in June are Python Programming for Beginners on Friday, June 21st at 3 p.m., Basic Cybersecurity on Monday, June 24th at 10 a.m., and Microsoft Office Basics on Friday, June 28th at 10 a.m. There will be fewer computer classes in July, which is typical. The schedules should be available on social media and on the library website by the last week of June. Please visit rclstn.org for more information. Something fun for the whole family, the Oral History Association, now housed within the MTSU History Department, will be conducting an introductory class twice in June here at the Tech. Exploring Oral History with Dr. Christine McCusker will be on Monday, June 24th at 6 p.m. and again on Thursday, June 27th at 1 p.m. The Oral History Association is a professional association for oral historians and others interested in oral history. Its mission is to, quote, bring together all persons interested in oral history as a way of collecting and interpreting human memories to foster knowledge and human dignity, end quote. It sounds fascinating, and I hope you all can visit. Everyone has stories to share with their families, and it would be wonderful to record and save them all. Set prep classes meet every Monday at 3 p.m. at the Tech. Please share this information with folks who may want to complete their education. The Murfreesboro Coder Dojo meets the second Saturday of each month at 10 a.m. In July, that will be on Saturday the 13th. The Photography Connect Murfreesboro at the Tech meets the second Thursday of each month. In July, that will be on Thursday the 11th. The guest speaker in July is Casey Malone. Borough Dev Speaker event happens every third Monday. Their next event is Monday, July 22nd at 6 p.m. Borough Dev Hack Night meets the fourth Monday of the month. Their next meeting is Monday, June 24th at 6 p.m. Just as a reminder, the Tech will be closed on Thursday, July 4th for Independence Day, as are all branches of the Rutherford County Library System. For more information about these events, please visit rclstn.org or call the Technology Engagement Center at 615-225-8312.
Hey everyone, come to the Smyrna Public Library this summer for fun, free programs for children and teens. Anyone may participate in our summer reading program, A Universe of Stories, to keep your reading skills honed and win prizes too. The Youth Services Librarians at Smyrna invite children to make free cosmic crafts at the library on Tuesdays, June 18th, 25th, and July 2nd at 10 o'clock a.m. Families will enjoy our Wednesday programs at the Smyrna Library. On June 19th, the Natural History Education Company will present a live animal program. On Wednesday, June 26th, Balloons of Awesomeness with balloon artist Scott Tripp will visit the library and make delightful balloon creations for all. Then, on Wednesday, July 3rd, be mesmerized by magician Bruce Amato. Finally, the grand finale party for our summer reading program will feature music presented by Dandy DJ. All Wednesday programs begin at 10 o'clock a.m. All teens are welcome to the Smyrna Library Teen Program on Fridays at 2 o'clock p.m. On Friday, June 21st, teens will play nerdy trivia together, and June 28th, make a constellation jar. Teens can make a planet pillow on Friday, July 5th, and all teens who participate in summer reading may celebrate at Smyrna Library on July 12th at 2 o'clock p.m. with DJ Kid Green. Model train enthusiasts must come to the Smyrna Library on the weekend of Saturday, June 22nd, and Sunday, June 23rd. This is when the N-Track Modular Railroading Society, Incorporated, will have a large model train display set up and operating in the Smyrna Library Conference Room. Come anytime between 9 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. to see and enjoy this unique model train display. Anyone who enjoys listening to history are welcome to attend the History of Smyrna seminar on Saturday, July 20th at 9:30 a.m. at the Smyrna Library. Join us to hear stories about the interesting experiences of longtime Smyrna residents Robert Bud Rakes and Patty Short. Everyone age 18 and younger may enjoy a free lunch at the Smyrna Library with the summer feeding program offered Monday through Friday at 11:30 a.m. We would love to see you and your family and friends this summer at the Smyrna Public Library.
There's so much happening at Linebaugh Public Library. Check out our calendar at rclstn.org for more information on the following events. Summer reading is in full swing, and on Mondays we have Dewey Wind Day from 9 to 4:45. Spin a wheel for a random number and check out a book from that Dewey classification number to win a prize. Need help with your family tree? Receive special one-on-one assistance at Linebaugh Public Library on Saturday mornings. Registration is required, so sign up to secure a Saturday session with a volunteer from the Linda S. Smith Genealogy Group. Are you worried about your private information being safe online? Learn the basics of internet safety Thursday, June 20th, 9 a.m. to 10, completely free and open to the public. Are you aging into Medicare? Currently have Medicare and would like to know the who, what, and why? Please join us for a discussion on the basics of Medicare on Saturday, June 22nd at 10 a.m. until 11. This free educational seminar will be in the second floor boardroom. Would you like to know more about Google Drive? Come learn the basics on Tuesday, June 25th, 6 p.m. to 7. Moving into July, our Master Gardener series continues on Saturday, July 6th, 9 a.m. to 10, with a session on pests, diseases, and weeds, located in the second floor boardroom. Our local authors of the month, that's right, authors, will be Hope Mallory and Darcy Flynn, who will be signing and selling copies of their books Wildfire and Roses and Stowaway on Tuesday, July 9th, from 10 a.m. to 1. Hope Mallory developed an interest in writing when she was young, and now she lives out her dream as a romance novelist in Franklin, Tennessee. Hope is a member of Romance Writers of America and Music City Romance Writers. You can connect with her online at www.hopemallory.com. Darcy Flynn also lives in Franklin on her horse farm with her husband. She is an international award-winning author known for her heartwarming, sweet contemporary romances. You can visit Darcy online at www.darcyflynnromances.com. Do you need to start preparing for retirement? Of course you do. So stop by on July 9th, 6 to 7 p.m. for a free seminar in the first floor club room about how to make that happen. Be sure to register soon because the session caps at 20 participants. The last in our Master Food Volunteer Series will be on July 13th, 10 a.m. in the first floor club room. This session on Farmers Market Fresh will teach how to select and prepare locally grown in-season produce. And remember, you can always find out more about these events and everything happening at Linebaugh Public Library by visiting our website at rclstn.org.
Receive breaking news, sports scores, traffic, and weather bulletins on your cell phone. Sign up for text alerts at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Don't let fleas and ticks get the jump on your pet this spring. Here at Animal City, we carry a full range of supplies to keep your pets protected.
Animal City is open 7 days a week. When you come see us, don't miss our underground level with all of our small animals, our adoptable cats, and so much more. This is Amanda from Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
This is Ron Hall with Fair Construction. When we're there at your place working on something else, if we notice another problem, we can let you know about it and be glad to take care of it while we're there. And it'll save you money with us already being there as opposed to having to have us or someone else come back. We are a local company, as we've said, and we care about you, and we want to make sure things are right when we leave your house.
Call 615-893-6120. That's Fair Construction Company.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here for this afternoon with cloudy sky conditions, a high in the mid-80s, and winds out of the south of 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 70.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Did you know we specialize in commercial and fleet business? We're equipped to handle all of your company's automotive needs. Download our Tire World app today for free oil changes and electronic coupons. Come by today for all of your automotive needs. Online at tireworld.us.
At Bell Jewelers, we put in a new Pandora boutique, and we're doing some changing around, new paint and new carpet, so we invite people to stop by and see all the changes. This is Lisa Halliburton at Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
So much happening at the Line Ball Public Library. Before we leave you today, I understand you can learn more about how to use your computers, your cell phones, any technical device.
We are winding down our computer classes, so we never have as many in the summer just because people are traveling and vacationing and all of that. But check out, we've got some really interesting topics that might pique your interest. And if you're if you're ever interested in volunteering to help teach computer classes or have a good idea for one, contact Trey Gwynn at tgwinn@rclstn.org.
All righty. And if you would like to check out the Tech Center, head over there.
Head over there. Talk to the folks over there. They're great. Just a reminder that we don't fix computers. But we can help you if you're having trouble with one and don't know quite what to do with it. So,
How about if you have one and you don't know how to work it?
Then we can help you out. We can definitely help you with that. And we still have computer classes in Smyrna and at Line Ball. So check those out as well.
And also try the virtual reality.
Oh, yes.
Have you done that yet?
I've done it in other places, but they were trying that out last week with the business after hours, and I think it's almost as much fun watching people use it as it is doing it, but it's pretty cool.
Head over there and try to find a time when the kids are not there.
Right, and we have a new, thanks to a grant from the Jennings Jones Foundation, we were able to get this. It's huge. It's like a huge tablet, and you can flip it up and do it like a chalkboard, you know, but there's educational games and stuff that's really cool. Or you can raise and lower it and use it like a table, but it's a touch screen, and it's really cool.
This is all at the Rutherford County Library System. You need to check it out. It's there for
We're not your typical library.
No. Rita, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Bart. Have a good day.
Rita Shacklett, the director of the Rutherford County Library System, visiting with us today. Stay with us. Truman is next, right here on WGNS Murfreesboro.